الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama, respected huffaz, beloved brothers and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum that on certain occasions du'as are answered. Sahaba asked radiyallahu anhum, Ya Rasulullah, what should we ask for? In our du'as, what should we beg Allah for? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them one word. He said, when you want to ask Allah and you know it's a time of acceptance, ask Allah for afiyat. Ask for Allah, ask for something called afiyat. In essence, afiyat means to be blessed with the best of this world and the best of the akhirat, and to be protected from the harms and the evils of this world and the difficulties in the akhirat. At all times, this is our dua. We ask Allah for afiyat at all times. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. We should ask for afiyat and never hope and never wish to be put into difficulty. But on the other hand, we do know it's part and parcel of this world, part and parcel of every person's creation, that every single person has to go through some difficulty or the other. There's going to be difficulty coming at different levels, at different times. Throughout a person's life, difficulties are going to come. To the extent that even the elite of Allah's creation, the most selected of Allah's makhluk, the Anbiya alayhimus salam, even they went through difficulty. Not just difficulty, but they went through the most difficulties. For them, it was the hardest. The most severe trials and tests came onto the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Difficulties are going to come to one and all. The question is, how are we going to respond to these difficulties? There are two groups. One group, that difficulty comes, it drops him, it makes him fall, it makes him so difficult and so miserable. And the other group, when this difficulty comes, the way this person or these people respond to this difficulty, it becomes a means of their elevation. As one person mentioned so beautifully, tragedies will come to everyone. You choose whether you want to wear that tragedy as a shackle or you want to wear that tragedy as your armor. You choose to wear that tragedy as a shackle and hold you down, or you choose to wear that tragedy as armor. So you have one group, the group of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, the group of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, Tabi'een and the pious. When this difficulty came to them, they adopted such an approach. Not that difficulty didn't come, but in the face of that difficulty, the way they responded, that it elevated them and made them climb to even higher heights. A person says so beautifully, that when you are faced with a problem, or you are faced with a mountain, then remembering Allah, trusting Allah, having the right guidance, won't make the mountain smaller, but it will definitely make the climbing easier. It won't make the mountain smaller, but it will definitely make the climbing easier. So let us go through the Quran Kareem. What guidance does Allah Ta'ala give us? When we are faced with the problem, how do we respond? What should be our mindset and people of the past, so that the difficulty now converts into ease and becomes something easy for us to get? Quran Kareem, on the occasion of Fath Makkah, Rasulullah conquered Medina Munawwara, he conquered Makkah Mukarramah, and the Arab lands were under his control. And he began speaking about Faris and Rome, Persia and Rome, etc. People found this to be very unique and very strange. Allah Ta'ala revealed the following ayat. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah is the one in charge. Allah blesses whoever He wants, and Allah takes away from whoever He wants. Allah elevates, aids others. Then at the end Allah says, بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. In Allah's hand is all good. The demands, or the demand of the wording of this ayat, is that just as Allah says, Allah degrades, Allah raises some, and Allah blesses some, and the demand of the formation of these words was, in Allah's hand is good, and in Allah's hand is also evil. But Allah only said, بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. In Allah's hand is only good. Why? To teach us the lesson that whatever happens around us, whether it is something we're going to be happy about, or whether it is outwardly a calamity, everything that Allah is sending before us only has good. It just takes our eye. We got to look at it in it. We look at the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam is imprisoned on some false pretext. He's blamed by Zulaykha. He was seduced by Zulaykha, and Allah Ta'ala had saved him. Nevertheless, it happened that she mentioned that if he continues in this manner, he's going to be imprisoned. And that's what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. He was put into the prison. Now, if you understand, Yusuf alayhi salam was leading a comfortable life. He was there in Egypt, and he could have stayed there. But in the face of this calamity, he's now taken out of comfort and locked into some prison. It's not an easy thing. It's something difficult. But look at the mind, even in the problem that he is. The mind and the state of mind of the pious is that whatever they're going through, they're always going to look for something good. And when they look for some good that they found, to be grateful to Allah Ta'ala for, that becomes a means of their comfort. In the heart of that difficulty, it becomes easy for them. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he could have complained. He could have said, this is what these people did to me, falsely accused. He raises his hands to Allah and he says, Rabbi asya mimma yad'unani ilayh. I could engage in this haram. Beloved, for me to be in the prison than to engage in this haram. He could have looked at the angle that he was thrown out of some comfort. But he says, he looks for an angle for him to make shukr, oh Allah, it's better for me to be in the prison than to engage in haram. When Yusuf alayhi salam was now sitting on the throne of Egypt, he was the person in charge. Everything was under him. His brothers now come to him, and they didn't recognize him in the beginning, but later on, they recognized who he was. He explained to them that he was Yusuf alayhi salam. A time came when his dream had unraveled, it had become reality. His father, his mother, and his brothers are all in front of him. They were the ones responsible for throwing him into the bottom of the well, and now he's on the top of the throne. When he's there, and they're all in front of him, he's sitting on the throne, he sees his mother and father with him, his 11 brothers are in front of him. He tells his father, هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. This is the interpretation of my dream that I had as a young boy. And then what does he say? This is a moment for him that he could be rebuking and shouting his brothers for whatever they had done with me, of the opportunity of being with my father all these years. So many years had passed, we were separated on the difficulty that he went through. But at this moment, he teaches us a qaida of Quran. This is the qaida of Quran, the usul that we would put difficulty we're going through. In that difficulty, if we can find something to be grateful for, that entire difficulty becomes easy. What does he say? At this moment, what does he say? He says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِ. And to me, what else can I say? Allah had taken me out of the prison, and He brought all of you in front of me. Yes, there was something that took place, but that was the work of Shaitan. Shaitan came in between me and my brothers and I, and that's what caused the problem. Yusuf alayhi salam could have been singing about the problems, but he moved away from that. He brought an aspect, how can I be grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Really, when a person brings this in this, despite the calamity and things being so difficult, if he finds this element of being grateful to Allah, that difficulty becomes easy. An incident is recorded. Kana ahadus sar, amongst the pious of the past, and difficulties on his body. What was his condition? He was akrad, hair was concerned. He had no hair on his head. He was bald. He had a skin ailment that was causing his hair to fall, to cause hair loss. A'mal aynain. As far as his eyes were concerned, he was blind. Abrasal badan. He had leprosy and a skin disease over his entire body. Mashlul al qadamain wal yadain. His hands and his lips. He couldn't move. He couldn't move any of this. So imagine, he's got a skin ailment, skin disease. He can't move his hands and legs. He's crippled. He's sitting in one corner. And he's singing the praises of Allah. Alhamdulillahi alladhi afani wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. He's saying, Allah has favored me in so many ways. I can't stop making shukr. A youngster goes past and he asks him, what are you making shukr for? What can you be grateful for? You got every type of calamity. Every part of your body is filled with some problem. What are you being grateful for? He says, I'm grateful to Allah. Alhamdulillahi alladhi ja'ala li lisanan dhakira wa qalban shakira wa badanan ala al-bala'i sabira. I'm making shukr that my entire body is afflicted, but my tongue is safe, my tongue is engaged in dhikr. My heart is engaged in shukr, and my body seek to be patient in my... But he found an element to be grateful for, and his entire focus, the law of Quran is, rather than focusing on what you lost, focus on what you have. Rather than focusing on what you've lost and what is gone, focus on what you have and what you're enjoying, and you'll definitely be a happy person. One person mentioned, Allah save and put, that today it's become a common thing for a person to be married, and in his marriage, he's cheating. He's cheating on his wife. So the reason for this, one person mentioned in few words, is that this person is focusing more on what he's missing than what he already has. He's focusing more on what he's missing than what he already has. That's why he's falling into a problem. If in every difficulty we focus on what we got, then really there won't be an end to our shukr. Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair, rahimahullah, it's narrated about him. There's a story that there was some type of wound that had come onto his leg that became septic, and he had to cut the wound out, and eventually he had to amputate the entire leg. In that very same time, one of his sons, Allah blessed him with 7 sons, one of his sons had fallen off some high place, and the animals which were running by, they trampled over him. People came to console him. They came to console him at the loss of his leg, as well as the loss of his son. When he heard about all this, when he heard about the death of his son and the loss of his leg, what did he say? Wallahi, لَإِنْ أَخَذْتَ لَقَدْ أَعْطَيْتَ وَلَإِنْ إِبْتَلَيْتَ لَقَدْ عَفَيْتَ. Oh Allah, you are so unique. What can I say about you? Whenever you take something, then you give so much more. And whenever you put me in a difficulty, you bless me in so many different ways. People were surprised. He said, Oh Allah, I had 4 limbs. You took one and you left 3. Oh Allah, I had 7 sons. You took one and you left me with 6. He could have concentrated on the one that he lost, but he was concentrating more on what he still has, on what he's still enjoying. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such a great man, so much of knowledge. We know every person, amongst the most valuable limbs that he has are his eyes, his sight. Especially for a man in learning and a person in ta'lim, he needs his sight. He lost his sight, he couldn't see. But what does he say? A person can focus on the calamity, or he can focus on what he still has. His statement is recorded. What did he say? Nurahuma, fafi qalbi walisani minhuma nurun. If Allah has taken away the light of my eyes, then through my eyes there is light in my heart. That light of my eyes may be gone, but there is still light in my heart. There is still light on my tongue, through the knowledge that I have learned and I can pass on to others. قَلْبِي ذَكِيٌّ وَعَقْلِي غَيْرُ ذِي دَخَلٌ وَفِي فَمِي لِسَانٌ كَالسَّيْفِ مَسْلُولُ. My heart is absolutely intelligent, my mind is intelligent, My mind has no deficiency in any way. And on in my mouth, Allah has placed such a tongue that can always come and come to the aid of Islam. So this is, Abdullah bin Abbas also is focusing on what he has. Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a brave fighter, next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst the al-asharatul mubashara. Once he had to take a ghusl, he had to take a bath, and someone was covering him with a cloth. Obviously his satr may have been covered, his body, the upper part of his body, below his knees were exposed. So he normally wouldn't remove his upper garment, but now when he removed the garment, the person who was looking at him having a bath, he noticed scars and wounds and cuts and slashes all have healed, but he's noticing there's a scar on every part of his body. So he asks him, that I noticed there's scars on your body. So he told him, did you really notice this? He said, if you look at my entire body, you wouldn't find one palm space, one hand space where there isn't a scar there. He could have complained, he could have said, you know, look at my body, look at the scars that are there. But he says, all I can say is every scar that is on my body, the scar was in battle with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is, in our words, we would say, so to say, a souvenir and a remembrance. And I got this scar on this battle next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I got that scar on that battle when I was on the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is how they thought, this is how they analyzed in the light, in the heart of that difficulty. They found something to be grateful for, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala caused difficulty with so much of ease. Hazrat, it's mentioned about Hazrat Shaykhul Hind rahmatullahi alayhi, one of our Akabir and our Buzugani Deen of Dioban, that when he was being taken to Malta, he was taken by ship. It was cold, extremely difficult. He was moving, he was put on the upper deck. It was a long journey. And there was water coming from all sides. He was tied on the top. And his students were there. They tried to punish him and give him some type of torture during that trip. And he was going through all this. It was difficult for him, and obviously in the prison as well. It was difficult for his students who were younger than him to see all this taking place. But what did he say? Look at the words that came out of his tongue. He was, but he was focused. Let me look for some aspect to be grateful to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for. And what did he say? He said, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. بَمُصِيبَتْ گِرِفْتَارَمْنَا بَمَعْصِيَتْ We are caught up, and I'm caught up in a calamity, an outward affliction. But Allah has saved me from sin. I'm not involved in any sin. I may be being hurt outwardly, but inwardly Allah has made things very easy for me. So respected elders and friends, difficulties are going to come to one and all. Allah give us afiyat at all times. But what's going to be the approach or the cause we're going to adopt in order for us to sail through with ease, no matter what the nature of the difficulty, if finds one aspect to make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our focus is more on what we have rather than what we've lost. Allah ta'ala will make the calamity easy and cause us to sail through and make this a means of our elevation. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice on what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.